You ready to explore more of what the Bible is talking about and how the church is supposed to be? Let's do this again. Are we ready to explore what the Word of God says about how the church is supposed to be?
Yeah.
All right. Turn to Ephesians. Seems like we're never getting out of it, but we're coming to the end of the middle point. This is a whole series of sit, walk, and stand. And what we have covered so far in sitting is understanding there is nothing else that we can do to become saved. It's nothing. It's just Jesus. It isn't Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and this. It's not Jesus and that. It's Jesus. So we stop, we sit down, and we don't do anything else. We just exercise our faith. Amen? And now we've been learning what it means to walk as an individual, learning how to walk in the Spirit. But what does that look like collectively? Because you see, Jesus Christ isn't just coming back for one person. He's coming back for one bride, which is worldwide. And she is making herself ready, even at this moment. In talking with Penny and what was going on, many of the pastors in our network are preaching on the same thing. And it isn't because I called them up and said, look, this is what I'm preaching on. What's God talked to you? We don't do that. When we go to presbytery, we don't talk about those types of things because it's all Spirit. And this is what it's all about, is walking after the Spirit of God. We have to be willing to take the courage to trust God in what's going on. And today is a subject that I'm titling Spirit-Led Submission. Spirit-Led Submission. Let's look at it. Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33. It says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to her husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and presenting her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And in this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Today, submission is an ugly word in the church. Okay? The world has infiltrated our thinking that when we talk about submission, mutual submission is what I'm talking about here. And I can remember when Kimmy first come and she wanted to talk about marriage and how things were to work out, I gave her a book called The Submissive Wife. But I also gave to her husband The Submissive Husband. You see, what has been taught in the church is an imbalance. And it has negated the fullness of what God has done for us as individuals. I am not the man I am because of Jesus Christ. I'm the man I am because of Jesus Christ working through Irene. And she's not the woman that she is because of Jesus. She's the woman she is because of Jesus Christ working through me. Because I prefer her. I prefer her becoming all that she can be in Jesus Christ. And that's love. And the way I demonstrate my love for her is not to put her under my thumb. I'm not a dictator. I'm not someone who lords it over and demands things of her. What I do is I serve her sacrificially, allowing her to become who she's supposed to be, not trying to manipulate her into my image. So guys, if we are going to have a problem, because this is going to be a problem not for the women, but for guys. Okay? Marriage is a profound mystery, but the word mystery means it hasn't been revealed yet. It has, the fullness of this revelation has not been revealed yet. And I'm going to try to give examples out of my own marriage to help you guys understand how this is supposed to exemplify Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. You see, spiritually what is happening is God is doing this thing where sons and daughters are coming back to their fathers and their mothers, and it's prophesied in the prophets that these are happening, and this is what's going on today. A generation was lost, and there's no bearing as to what's right or wrong, and so this generation, this young generation that is coming up, that is serving the church and getting the wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ, are becoming stronger through our mistakes. And so the holiness and righteousness of God is going to flow through that generation, this next generation. I call it the Joshua generation that is coming, because they're the ones that are going to take the land. They're the ones that are going to exhibit Jesus Christ. Old folks like us are the mentors, the teachers. And we can't mentor or teach you if you're not submitted to Jesus Christ. See, it starts with Him. And you have to love Jesus Christ to submit to Jesus Christ. God's intention is to bless the church in its fullness. And it starts with men loving their wives. Now, years ago, when I was a young man, I wasn't anything in the church. I was just serving. I jumped in and did whatever I could do. And I did a study on what it meant to be a spiritual man. And it was months. I was studying the Word of God. I went from A to Z and Z back to A. And I came out of that and Irene says, "Well, what?" I said, "God should have made me a woman." Because what He has for a guy is a total bunch of responsibility. And I said, nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that you have to love me. I've looked. It doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. It says, respect them. Honor them. Why? Why do you think that's important? But God also said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Why? I ask those questions. And funny enough, God speaks and tells me. This submission that we're talking about is a love submission. Submission means just simply this: to yield. To yield yourself to another's authority or decision, to defer yourself to that. It is to honor the position of one who is in authority. You don't have to fight with authorities. You don't have to do anything, ladies. You just submit. When he says to do something and it's wrong, it's on him. It's on me. God will straighten me out. You don't have to go, "Well, I told you so." If you had just listened to me, and early in my marriage, I got that. See? But we were heathen at the time. And of course, you know, that was not showing respect or honor. And of course, me being an intense person, I became very intense. I was not showing love. But when Jesus Christ got a hold of me and I did this study, I repented to her. I repented to her because as Christ loves the church, I was not loving her. I was not serving her. I was not taking care of her as Christ takes care of the church. How is me submitting to her going to change the position of authority that Jesus Christ gave to me? It's not. I'm accountable to God. But if I'm going to do something or say something, that's going to set her free, then it has to be in Jesus Christ. And I don't get it right all the time. Even in recently, I didn't get it right. And I have to do the messy work of reconciliation in a relationship. But I'm willing. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Why? Because that relationship is important to me. And that relationship is important to Jesus Christ because that relationship is in the church. Okay? Well, Pastor, you just don't understand how these people are. They get under my skin. Do you understand how you get under God's skin? And He hasn't forsaken us. He promises us that. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. You're going to change. I'm not. You're going to become like me. I'm not going to allow you to be what you are. You're going to be what I created you to be. And so God gives us this helpmate. Now, years ago when we did this thing, I sat in a men's conference and we were talking about how men and wives come together. Now this one word, that the two would become one flesh, is a really interesting word. It is called sarte. And sarte means a cutting away. A wife's job is to cut away this junk that keeps us or inhibits us from becoming all we can be for them. And God holds us accountable when they take this knife and they cut this stuff off of us. They do it in a loving way. Wives submit to us, but they submit to us in Christ. Because they love Jesus and they love us. And when we start acting like the way Jesus acts, guess what happens? They begin to love us. They begin to start seeing the potential that God has put in us begin to start coming from us. And so now there's this communion that comes in, this mutuality that because I love her, I'm going to submit to her. Why? Because she's always going to point me in a direction where Jesus Christ is. She's always going to point me in a place that's going to make me better, not worse. It's not about me having power and authority over there. Submission is not about that. Submission has nothing to do with the order of authority. It has everything to do with the operation of authority. It governs it. And by that I mean it's how it's given and how it's received. If I carry myself in a way that is intimidating and threatening over somebody, it's received wrong. And my authority doesn't mean anything. My power is brought null and void. But if I lovingly serve my wife, submit to her input. She's my helpmate. She doesn't want to see something happen to me that's wrong. But if I make a decision without considering what God is saying to her, I'm responsible no matter what. And I know I'm talking to spiritual men here, that you do listen to your wives, because I have spoken to you about this. And it is important. In my house, I am the last one to get anything. And the last one, I make sure everyone has their clothing, made sure everyone had their meals, made sure they had all the stuff that they needed for their education, made sure that they were taken care of spiritually. Guys, we are responsible for all their physical needs. We are responsible for all their intellectual needs. We are responsible for all their emotional needs. And most importantly, we're responsible for meeting all their spiritual needs. Because that's how Christ loves the church. He makes sure each and every one of those needs are met for us. And gentlemen, Stephen, a relationship is not based on the physicality, although when I saw Irene, and still do, and now she tells me to go Google elsewhere. Well, on the computer. Just go Google me in someplace. The idea here is that in this relationship, our love deepens. It supersedes the physical. It supersedes the intellectual. It supersedes the emotional. And it becomes more complete in our spiritual. I said to her yesterday, and she's spoken it several times at different things, but yesterday I was honored enough to sit there and really carry the weight of these. I dig the power I had yesterday with holding them cards up. And I saw how Irene was with me when I first got those cards. She just wouldn't look. And then she looks over and says, "Wow, you got to be kidding me." No, we're not kidding. But anyhow, I said to her, I was so proud of her because she studied so hard and she really just spoke out of her heart. And I didn't have a lot of input in there, but I guided her as to what God was saying and helping her to. But ultimately, it was everything. That's what Jesus does with us. He guides us. He shows us in through the scriptures. He helps us to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's the one who provides everything for our needs. And guys, we need to do that for our spouses. I was the last one to sit into a study unless she said go. And we could tell you stories where when she said go, that meant all the time. I went all the time and she had stuff to do and she was becoming a little jealous, I guess, about me having to go all to these prayer meetings and Bible studies and meeting other people. But that was God. That was God. And because God is in all this, we have to understand it is a training process. And those areas that we're not mutually submitted in, we need to give it to God and allow Him to show us how to do this. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says, "If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ," now we're talking about marriage here, but also the body. "If any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." Being one in spirit and purpose. Spirit is the highest realm we want to attain. We want the Spirit to rule us. Okay? He rules our souls, which is the next area, and our body is at the lowest estate. And when we feed our flesh, we're diminishing who we are. Now, I'm not talking about having a meal or something like that, but I'm talking about ungodly desires. When we give in to that, we demean ourselves and who we are in Jesus Christ. "Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. I prefer my wife. I prefer the church. I do things in order to promote. And my heart, it may not come out right. It may be crushing at times. But my heart is, I want to see you guys become more than me, become better than me. Because I want to see Jesus Christ rule and reign in every area of your life. We must be filled with the Spirit of God because we're leaky vessels. We're leaky vessels. We can't, this kind of love that I'm talking about isn't a human love. It is a spiritual love. And we have to be filled, constantly refilled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want to give you some understanding about being filled with the Spirit. It's very practical. Being filled with the Spirit is I belong to Jesus. My body belongs to Jesus Christ. All that I am is now the Spirit of God is flowing from me. I'm loving people, even when they don't love me back. I'm loving people. Because that's Jesus coming out. How can I love people? Give them a hug, simple word, compliment, tell them how much I appreciate them, doing things for them. My cousin next door did something for me, and he got hurt. And so Irene said to me, can we do something for him? And I said, yeah, no problem. He had a yard filled with raked up grass clippings. I took my mower, and it's just a bagger, and we sucked that bad boy right up, and his yard looks nice. Now he's out there growing it again instead of letting it die like smart people. But you know what? We prefer that because, you know what? We give and we take. We shouldn't be just takers. We should learn. We should be fighting each other to bless each other. And too much in the church is, bless me, Jesus. Bless me. When God says, bless everyone. Maybe because you don't have some stuff is because you haven't learned how to love people in a blessing way. To give it away. Wives, submit to your husbands because she loves Jesus Christ. Husbands, listen to these words. Elizabeth Elliot Gren says, the best thing a woman can do for her husband is to make it easy for him to do the will of God. This is coming from a wife who was a pastor's wife. Jill Briscoe, a man of quality is never threatened by a woman of equality. She's my equal. She's not my subservient. She's my equal. I totally depend upon her input. And when I am not sure what's going on, I'm not hearing God, she's the first person I run to. Look, I've got this going on. I need some insight. I need you to pray about this. Intercession prayer, intercessors, Dan already knows. He gets a list every week of the stuff that we're praying about. Susie Gerard said, your husband will go only as far as you let him go with God. Susie Gerard was my first pastor's wife. And she said those words to Irene. We are to be examples to our families, our wives, even with all our imperfections. But men don't get it. I hear men say, well, I work two jobs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. What are you being? Well, what do you mean? You have to be something. What is God telling you to be? It's not about human doing. You first violate the first step of sitting. You can't do this. You need to do this by the Spirit. And the only way that you can do this is walk in the Spirit. You need to be constantly filled with God's Spirit all the time. And sometimes we fail to realize that things are not working right because we haven't asked God to fill us with His Spirit again. Have you ever seen it where you come to church and you just feel dried out? Worship is like, ugh. Attitudes is like, man, I just can't take these people no more. You don't have the Spirit of God. You need to just stop, what I call stop, drop, and roll out of that situation. Stand up on your feet and say, God, fill me. I need more of you. I need you. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my job. I need you in the ministry that I'm serving. I need you. So I can love my wife. So I can love my sisters. So I can love my brothers. So I can serve them as Christ serves the church sacrificially. Well, Pastor, you know my schedule. You know what's going on. Yeah. You're still at sitting. You need to start moving. You need to get off your duff. You got to stop making excuses about why you're not involved. The Church of Jesus Christ is a bunch of people today that need to arise, shake the dust off, and wake up. The King is coming. And my job is to prepare you for His coming. Which means my job, according to Ephesians 4, is to train you to do your job. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, maybe you need to ask God what it is. Maybe you need to just get involved. Maybe you need some training. Maybe you need to have some vision. Instead of saying, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. They're excuses. I got everything in Jesus Christ. And I can do all things in Jesus Christ. Why? Because He strengthens me. I'm zealous for my King. I'm zealous to see where He's taking us. I'm zealous because He said, my favor is about to overtake you. And when I poured out a blessing, the building happened. Maybe it's what Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. I don't have that. You know what? You're feeding at the wrong table. You're feeding at the trough of the world. Why don't you sit at the King's table who's got excellent food for us? He's got stuff that you need. He wants to tell you how much He loves you and how He has put people in your life that will not let you settle for less than who you are and what He has created you to become. Don't you know you're supposed to be Satan's worst nightmare? And the church is running around, oh, the devil made me do it! Oh, the devil's got me! Oh, I'm sick because of the devil! You're sick because you don't know the Word of God and you don't know who you are in God. Jeez, ew. And I want to stop here and talk to the singles for a second. Do you know that God prefers you over a married couple? He prefers you. Why? Because you have nothing to tie you down. And because He prefers you, He doesn't want you unequally yoked with heathen. And I classify unequally yoked with heathen as people who say they know Jesus, but don't live it. You're a heathen. Bible says rule more kindly. They're carnal Christians. You're a heathen. And you need to get saved. You shouldn't have anything to do with people like that. That doesn't mean you don't witness to them. It doesn't mean I don't believe in missionary dating either, guys. Ladies. Well, if I date him, he's going to fall in love with Jesus and then everything is going to work out. It don't work that way. But you just don't understand, Pastor. I need somebody to love me. Jesus loves you. You need to start paying attention to him. Well, you know, he's asked me to go on a mission trip. Okay, where's the problem? I just don't want to do that. Well, you're not submitted. And what's happening in your life? Oh, man, all kind of serious things are going on, Pastor. Let me tell you. Okay, I'll sit there and listen. And I'm going to come right back to you. You're not submitted to the Lord. You're not submitted to His design of authority in the church. You're not listening to the Word of God. You're not even getting the Word of God into your life. Am I painting a rosy picture for you? You don't have because you're not seeking Him who is everything to us. It ain't the stuff and it ain't people. The call of Jesus Christ is to the church to take this land. To take this land means to be filled with His Spirit, that my body is His. Now phase two. Being baptized in His Spirit. Okay? Means I am part of the body of Jesus Christ. I no longer can do what I think is right because I have consequences to think about. When I do something, it affects the church. When one hurts, who? Oh, no. It's just me hurting. All hurt. You see, and that's what the scripture's talking about, considering, preferring one another. Your measly little insecurities and deficiencies are lies. They're made so that God takes those weaknesses and deficiencies, as Penny said yesterday, and turns them into strengths to glorify Him. But Pastor, that means I got to do what He says to do. Amen. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what. When I finally got it through the gray matter, He saved my marriage. We were almost divorced. I would have lost the relationship with my children. Who knows what else would have happened? I was a doper. I was doing everything that I could do to stay out of the marriage. And yet I wanted all the perks. I'm the man of the house. Get me a sandwich. Give me an iced tea. Give me this. Give me that. My name is Gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And Irene was like, boy, you in a whole world of hurt someday. God going to get you. Oh, guess what? God got a hold of me and she's in a whole world of hurt because now she's dealing with a guy she didn't know. She says, she'll tell people, and I've listened. She goes, when Gary got saved, he was a total different man. I didn't know how to deal with him. The truth of it was, she didn't know how to deal with him before, but Jesus dealt with me to bless her, to bless my children, to bless the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm a gift to you. And I'm probably one of the few people that's going to listen to your sob story, and then I'm going to tell you truth. In love. See, I submit it. I take that word of advice. There's one thing with single people, that God has a desire for you to be world changers. Do you understand that there is a special call in your life? And when your vision isn't greater than the world, it's no vision at all, because it's based on self. It's not based on God. This vision that God has given me for Streams is too big for me to accomplish. I need my sons to arise. I need my daughters to come alongside. Spiritual. The Church of Jesus Christ is suffering because we have lost something. And what God has shown me is we're building a heritage and an inheritance for the generations. If He should tarry, we're going to learn how to covet one another and work with one another and love one another in spite of what's going on. How many had a great morning this morning? Getting up, no pressure, no nothing. Why? Did you ever think about why it's so great today? It's because the enemy couldn't stop us from doing what he's called us to do. He tried to stop us from making covenant with Banner Brothers within our fellowship. And that Sunday was terrible. Terrible. This whole week has been horrendous, you know, because the women were putting on the tea event. Tea, is that right? Tea event? Women of Truth event, okay? And today it's like, we get up, we're like, we're loving each other. It's like the Spirit of God is moving. It's all fresh. And it is. Why? Because the battle is over. We won the victory in Jesus Christ. We didn't let Him stop us. We didn't use excuses. Well, you know what? I couldn't be there because of that. I couldn't serve because of this. I couldn't, whatever excuses. You were robbed. You let the enemy take from you. And everyone that was there received that God had. My son's girlfriend has been going through the mill. Family members are dying. People that they know that are close to them are dying left and right. And my son, they were at a burial yesterday for someone. And my son said, well, let's go out and get some breakfast. And she says, I got to be at this event. He goes, well, after breakfast, go. She says, I got to be at this event. She's, my heart is being tugged. I got to be here. And Irene and I are sitting there, and I said, well, Bev's not here, you know. Maybe the schedules is such. And I didn't mean it to be derogatory, but I do understand that there's schedule conflicts and people that are really busy. Even within the church body. And I said, well, if she can't make it, she can't make it, you know. And she walks through the door. And I'm like, yes, God. And I apologized to her because I made a comment that I really didn't think she was going to make it. But the tugging of God's heart. She wasn't going to let death stop her. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. She wants what God's got, and the pull of the Holy Spirit is drawing her. Are you just going through the motions, or are you just submitted to whatever you feel like? Let me give you some basics for Spirit-led submission. These are basic principles. A wise Christian husband or a wise Christian man will not take advantage of his leadership role in the family or in the church. I don't take advantage. You can ask anybody here. I can. I don't. I want to love like Jesus loves. And that's wisdom. Why? Because it gives opportunity for us to hear from our sisters and our spouses what God's saying to them. And if it's in unity, then we move forward. But if we don't have peace and we don't have unity, there's not a decision we made since being in Christ. A major decision. If we didn't have peace and we didn't have unity, we didn't do it. Because we didn't believe God was in it. And we're in peace and we're in unity with this thing, with this building. And you guys know, we've been through the mill with this. And God is blessing us. So much so that we don't even have to do anything about financing. He's going to do it for us. All we need to do is get a lawyer to help us draw up a real estate contract. And we've never done that, and Nikki's going to help us, and you know, that's going to happen. This town's going to be shocked when Streams is here. And Streams is going to flood this town with the Spirit of God. Second, a wise Christian wife or woman will not try to undermine her husband's leadership. The worst thing that we can do, ladies, is undermine the headship. That undermining is, you don't have to listen to him. You do what I tell you to do, to the children or to whoever. You must be submitted to Jesus Christ. If you don't like what's being done, you have the right in Jesus Christ to speak what God is saying to you. And then the consequences is on him. And those consequences, and my sister believed in this mutual submission nonsense, to a place of, he said everything and that was the way it was. They lost their home. They lost their credibility with banks. And now they're struggling. And they don't want to say it, but they are. They're struggling, maybe not financially because things are going well, but spiritually they are struggling. Why? Because she really didn't say what was on her heart that I believe God was putting on there. If either should do so, to take advantage of their positions or undermine their positions, disunity and friction is within the marriage or within the church. We're either moving together or we're not moving. We're moving. Church, we're moving. We're moving out of this facility. We're going to have a big facility for 150 people. Junior church. Think for weddings. We've got plans. We've got plans. Youth stuff. We got knock some trees down. I know Stephen likes to cut down trees and stuff, so yeah. I'll give him a chainsaw, let him go crazy. I must be submitted to Jesus Christ. If I am not submitted to him, I am in rebellion. I cannot love my wife as Jesus Christ loves my wife. I cannot love the church as Jesus Christ loves the church. I am submitted to Jesus Christ. I am the head of Streams of Fellowship, of which my wife is also with it. Friendships are great things to have. Covenant is wonderful. But to walk in the Spirit in unity and in peace is a dynamic that is little understood. I think we need to look at our relationships. I think what we need to do is jettison some of the belief systems that have been incorporated to us through the world. We need to get right with God, allow him to speak to us, get under proper covering, who will love you I know Irene would love the women like her own daughters. I love my sons and they know it. I love them like sons. I'm tough on them. I make no apology for that. Because the days ahead are going to be worse than the days I've had to come through. Because the days are getting darker. They're becoming more wicked. And we need to stand up and protect our women. And I don't mean that in a way that's cultish. I mean, you know what? When you're looking at a guy, you need to bring him to the church. Let your brothers examine him for you. You know why? Do you know why? Because they're like him. They have a debased motive, but they're controlled by the Spirit, and they want you to be protected so that nobody would take advantage of you. When they come to Daddy, they were kind to him. Daddy's not kind. Daddy wants to protect his daughters. And guess what? Gomez will tell you. When he married Jesse, I mean, he did the right thing. He came and asked for her hand in marriage. And then I examined him. It was months of examining. And they said, we want to get married here. And when it came time to get married, I said, you're not ready to get married. And they were mad. We're ready. No, you're not. One more year. And they submitted. And God blessed them. God blessed them. Blessed the arrangements, blessed the hall, blessed everything for them. Because they listened to godly input and they didn't rush into it. And now they're serving in ministry. God loves you so much that whatever mistakes you have made, and I'm just speaking because I don't really know you, but whatever mistakes you made, God's forgotten about them. He wants to protect you because you are worth it. He cherishes you. He cherishes Jen. He wants the best for you guys. He wants the best for all you single ladies. And he wants his men to protect you from the wolves that are out there that would take advantage of you because they feed on your base insecurities and things, and the world is not kind. You know what I'm saying is true. And that's spirit. That is just spirit, what God has given to me for you. We've made mistakes. We have women that's come to me and their mothers wanted them to abort children. And they were standing up and I said, I'm standing with your daughter. I stand for life. She made a mistake. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of when we start submitting ourselves, being in right relationship with God, and in right relationship. And the church, men and women, rally around our weakest ones. And God wants you to know that He loves you unconditionally. Amen? He loves His church, and He has died for His church to live. Understand that. He has died. And guys, we must be willing to give our lives for Him. Which means protecting His women. They're His. They're not ours. But they're here at Streams. And that's what God's raising up. He's raising up warriors to protect the women from guys who need their butts beat. I'm going to end with this. We had a guy come in here, and he was going through our women. I called him up, and I said, you're more than welcome to worship here, but I'm going to see you in jail. You're not going to take advantage of these young girls like you think you are. He wasn't in church anymore. I call it the way I see it. Wasn't in church. That's protecting. Now what you do outside of church, you have to be submitted to the things that God is telling us to do. But we can only protect you so far. We can't protect you from yourself when you make decisions that are outside the will of God. But that's what mutual submission is preferring one another in love to lay down our lives and serve each other, and men being accountable to love unconditionally, making good decisions on behalf of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, I just rejoice in you, Lord God, and I thank you. This is a very tough subject to deal with, God, because the world has infiltrated our thinking. But God, you supersede that. You are awesome, God. You are powerful, and you love us, God. You are a warrior. You have fought for us, God, and you have won. And God, your church is going to be vibrant. Your church is going to be alive. Your church is going to be beautiful, God. It's not going to be drabby and in rags. It's not going to be in confusion. It is going to be looking for you without spot, without wrinkle. God, she is going to be holy and beautiful and righteous. And we're going to a banquet feast. We're going to a wedding, God, that you have set for us, Lord. And you told us through the communion that you would not drink of this fruit until the day that the kingdom of heaven would come. And Father, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come for your bride as we make ourselves ready for you. May we hear the trumpet. May we hear the sound of your voice, God. And may we submit ourselves to your authority in Jesus' mighty name, God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.